So welcome to Bhagavad Gita class, and tomorrow we start verse number 1 of the Bhagavad Gita with its introduction, preface, and setting the scene already. And today there are some handouts there, two photocopies, and Tusta has the other one. So if you can share, two groups maybe, ladies and boys, sorry, because there are so many pages I couldn't print more. And then we are finishing the introduction today. You can have one Bhagavad Gita copy. And then at the end of the introduction, there we left it last day. So we continue from there. And the exact point where we start today is the last pages of the introduction. You'll see introduction, you'll see how says Gita Mahatmya is starting in conclusion. I don't know the page number because I don't have Bhagavad Gita here on the computer. So we're gonna read, but first I like to read the prayers. On page number 1, thank you, Marek. Because I need a Gita. So this is actually Hare Krishna. This is actually a challenge for at least for myself, because I'm trying to improve and personally and first as a person, and secondly as be able to help others by preaching. So this is we're going to read the introduction prayers. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission of to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet? Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Cha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Panamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Namo Namaha. So please pay. This small book is page 27. Those who have the big one, maybe a bit later. So we continue reading. In conclusion, Bhagavad Gita is a transcendental literature which one should read very carefully. Gita Shastra Midam Punyam Ya Patet Prayata Pumam. Which means, if one properly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, one can be freed from all the miseries and anxieties of life. Vaya Sokadi Varjitaha. One will be freed from all fears in this life, and one's next life will be spiritual. This is from the Gita Mahatmya, number 1. There is also a further advantage. Gita Dhyayana Silasya Pranayama Parasya Cha Naiva Shantihi Papani Purna Purva Janma Kritani Cha. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. Gita Mahamya, number 2. The Lord says very loudly in the last portion of Bhagavad Gita, 1866, Sarma dharman paritya ja mame kam saranam braja. Aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha jishyami masu chaham. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus the Lord takes all responsibility for one who surrenders unto him, and he then indemnifies such a person against all reactions of sins. Mala nirmochanam pumsam jala snanam dine dine sakrit gitam ritas nanam samsara mala nasanam. One may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water, but if one takes a bath even once in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. Gita sugita kartavya kima nyai sastra vistarai ya swayam padmanavasya mukha padmad vinishkrita. Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not read any other Vedic literature. One need only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. In the present age, people are so absorbed in mundane activities that it is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literatures. But this is not necessary. If this one book, Bhagavad Gita, will suffice, because it is the essence of all Vedic literatures, and especially because it is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As it is said, Bharatam Rita Sarvasyam Sarvasvam Vishnu Bhaktrat Vinishkritam Gita Gangodakam Pritva Punam Janma Navidyate. One who drinks the water of the Ganges attains salvation. So what to speak of one who drinks the nectar of Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the essential nectar of the Mahabharata, and it is spoken by Lord Krishna himself, the original Vishnu. Bhagavad Gita comes from the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Ganges is said to emanate from the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, there is no difference between the mouth and the feet of the Supreme Lord, but from an impartial study, we can appreciate that Bhagavad Gita is even more important than the water of the Ganges. Sarva pani sadogavo dogda gopala nandanaha parto vatsa sudhir bhokta dugdam gitamritam mahat. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Vedic, of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow, and Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. Ekam sastram deva. So I'm going to repeat this one because I think it's very nice and may take a little bit more effort to grasp it fully. So, if it's okay, I can repeat. This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf. And learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. So, it's saying that Bhagavad Gita, which is the essence of the Upanishads, very important scriptures in our tradition, is just like a cow. Okay, Bhagavad Gita is like a cow. Lord Krishna is famous as a cowherd boy. He's milking this cow. So Lord Krishna is milking Bhagavad Gita in a sense. Arjuna is just like a calf. Is a calf is a cow, is a young cow, and learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. So it's a nice comparison, I didn't like it. Continue reading. Ekam sastram devaki putra gitam, eko devo devaki putra eva, eko mantras tasya namami yani, karmapi ekam tasya devasya seva. In this present day, people are very much eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. Therefore, ekam sastram devaki putra gitam. Let there be one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita, Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva. Let there be one God for the whole world, Sri Krishna. Eko Mantras Tasya Namani, and one hymn, one mantra, one prayer, the chanting of his name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Karmapya Kam Tasya Devasya Seva, let there be one work only, the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Jai. Oma Janati Medandasya Janjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurum Vaisnavam Cha. Sorry, we read that before. I got a bit out of track now. So we're gonna read today the Gita Mahatmya, glories of chapter 1, which are there in the photocopies that I gave you, and I think we have time. We have 25 minutes. So, this is from the Puranas, the Padma Purana, and is spoken by Vyasadev. It's the glorification of the Bhagavad Gita, given by Lord Shiva, who is offering this Mahatmya to Lord Krishna himself, as the title says. So, just a reminder that this Bhagavad Gita is coming down through the chain of disciplic succession and from the Lord, and then the preface. And Madhu, would you like to start reading? Maybe I should just read myself. So, preface. In the Mahabharata, Shanti Parva, we can trace out the history of the Gita as follows. In the beginning of the millennium known as Treta Yuga, this science of the relationship with the Supreme was delivered by Vibhaswan to Manu. Manu, being the father of mankind, gave it to his son Maharaj Sisvaku, the king of this earth planet and forefather of the Raghu dynasty, in which Lord Ramachandra appeared. This part we're going to skip because it's a bit too loud. Is it too loud, the volume? Sounds good? Okay. So we're going to skip because it's just explaining about how the Bhagavad Gita is coming down through. So the disciplic succession, you know, from the time of long, long ago. So I'm going to jump to the introduction now of the papers. In the Harivamsa, it is stated, Vede Rama Yani Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavante Chamadhye Cha Hari Sarvatra Gi Yate. In all the Vedas, Ramayana, Puranas and Mahabharata, Lord Hari's glories are sung throughout, in the beginning, middle and the end. Lord Hari's glories. Bhagavad Gita is one of the sections of Mahabharata, Bhishma Parva, but it is a scripture. Scriptures and narrations about the Supreme Lord or are words spoken by the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a beautiful narration of the pastimes of the Supreme Lord, and Bhagavad Gita is the song of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Both are no different from him. We're also going to jump also this part. I'm going to go directly to the glories of chapter 1. Parvati said, My dear husband, you know all the transcendental truth, and by your mercy I have heard the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. O Lord, now I long to hear from you the glories of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which was spoken by Lord Sri Krishna and by hearing which one's devotion to Lord Krishna increases. Lord Shiva replied, that person whose body is the color of a dark rain cloud, whose carrier is the king of birds, Garuda, and who is lying on Anantashesha, the thousand-headed serpent, that Lord Vishnu, whose glories have no limit, am always worshipping. My dear Parvati, once after Lord Vishnu had killed the demon Mura, he was resting peacefully on Anantashesha, when the bestower of all good fortune of the universe, Sri Lakshmi, respectfully inquired from him, Bhagavan, you are the controller and maintainer of the whole universe, but here you are sleeping unhappily on this ocean of milk. What is the reason? Lord Vishnu said, my dear Lakshmi, I am not sleeping, but I am watching how wonderfully my energy is working. It is by this wonderful energy of mine by which I am controlling all things and yet remain separate. And it is by remembering these divine activities of mine that the great devotees and yogis manage to free themselves from the will of birth and death and attain that transcendental nature of mine, which is eternal and free from all qualities. Lakshmi said, oh, controller of all things, you are the goal of the meditation of great yogis. Nothing can go without you, and yet you are separate. You are the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction of all the material universes. Kindly inform me about the workings of your wonderful energies, which are so attractive that even you are lying here meditating upon them. Lord Vishnu said, my dear Lakshmi, the workings of my multifold energies and how to become free from the bonds of birth and death and attain my eternal nature can only be understood by one of pure intelligence who has an inclination to render service unto me. This transcendental knowledge is fully explained in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Lakshmi inquired, my dear Lord, if you yourself are amazed by the workings of your energies and are ever trying to fathom their limit, then how is it possible that the Bhagavad Gita can describe those unlimited energies of yours and how to cross over them and attain the transcendental nature? Lord Vishnu said, I myself have manifested in the form of Bhagavad Gita. Please understand that the first five chapters are my five heads. The next 10 chapters are my 10 arms, and the 16th chapter is my stomach. The last two chapters are my lotus feet. In this way, you should understand the transcendental deity of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita. This Bhagavad Gita is the destroyer of all sins. And that intelligent man who daily recites one chapter or even one sloka, one half sloka, or at least one quarter sloka, will attain the same position as Susharma has attained. Lakshmi inquired, who was Susharma? What class did he belong to? And what destination did he attain? Lord Vishnu said, my dear Lakshmiji, Susharma was a very wicked and most sinful man. Although he was born in a Brahman family, his family had no Vedic knowledge, and he only took pleasure for hurting others. He never engaged in the chanting of my names, in giving charity or receiving guests. In fact, he never performed any pious activities. For his livelihood, he collected leaves and sold them in the bazaar. He especially enjoyed drinking wine and eating flesh. In this way, he passed his life. One day, that foolish Susharma had gone to the garden of one sage for collecting leaves, when a snake came and bit him, and he died. After his death, he was cast into many hells, where he suffered for a long time, after which he attained the body of a bull. That bull was purchased by a crippled man, who engaged him in his service. For about 7 or 8 years, he was carrying extremely heavy loads. One day, that crippled man had piled a very heavy load onto the back of his bull. Very quickly, he was forcing that bull along when suddenly the bull fell over and became unconscious. Many persons gathered there to see what was happening, feeling sorry for that bull. One pious man bestowed upon that bull the results of some of his pious activities. Seeing that, other persons standing there started remembering their pious activities and offered the results of some of those activities to that bull. In that crowd, there was also one prostitute who did not know if she had ever performed any pious activities. But seeing everyone else offering the pious credits to that bull, she also offered the results of any pious activities she may have performed. After that, the bull died and was taken to the abode of Yamaraj, the god of death. There, Yamaraj informed him, "You are now free from the reactions of all your previous sinful deeds due to the pious credits given to you by that prostitute." Then he took birth in a very high Brahmana family. In that birth, he was able to remember his past lives. After many days, he decided to search out that prostitute who had been the cause of freeing him from his hellish situation. After he had found and introduced himself to that lady, he inquired from her, "What were the pious activities performed by you, the fruits of which freed me from my hellish situation?" The prostitute replied, "My dear sir, in that cage is one parrot who recites something every day. Hearing that recitation, my heart has become completely pure. The results of hearing that recitation I had given to you." Thereafter, they both inquired from that parrot about that recitation. That parrot, remembering his previous life, started to narrate his history. "Previously, I had been a learned Brahmana, but due to my pride, I used to insult other learned persons. I was also extremely jealous. After I died, I was cast into many hells, and after a long time of suffering, I achieved this body of a parrot. Due to my past sinful activities, my mother and father died while I was a baby. One day, while I was living on the hot sands with no protections, lying on the hot sands with no protection, some rishis saw me and took me to their ashrams and put me in a cage. At that same place, the children of those rishis were learning the recitation of the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Hearing them repeat those slokas, I also started repeating those slokas along with them. Shortly after, one thief stole me from that place and sold me to this pious lady." Lord Vishnu continued, "By reciting the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that parrot had become completely pure. And by hearing such recitation, that prostitute also became completely pure. And by receiving some of the pious results of hearing that recitation, Susharma also became completely pure." After discussing for some time the glories of the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Susharma returned to his home, and the three of them individually engaged in reciting the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and very quickly attained the supreme destination, Vaikuntha. Anyone who recites or hears or studies the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita will very easily cross over the ocean of material miseries and attain the service of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Okay, so I personally like very much this Mahatmya, Gita Mahatmya, because it's full of stories, real stories actually, that enthuse us to read the Bhagavad Gita and to take the benefit, and in this way we can get purified, you know, in life. And so anyone who hears, anyone who recites, of course anyone who recites gets more benefit than anyone who hears, but both get benefit. As Lord Krishna says in the last chapter of the Gita, the 18th chapter, we were doing a few weeks ago, we were reciting the 18th chapter, and it's explained at the end, Lord Krishna last sentences is 1860, just after after Sarvadharman Parityasyan experts, it is like this, yeah? If you go, if you like to also follow, it's 1867. Idante napatas na tapas tapaskaya navaktaya kadachana na chasus rusave vacham na chamam yo vyasuyati. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere, not devoted, or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. And then next verse, 1868, Ya idam paramam guhyam mat bhaktesu avidasyati bhakti mayi paramam kritva mam evaisyati asamsayaha, free from doubt. Madhu was actually yesterday commenting about this. Samsayaha is free from doubt. It's for one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees. Pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. So, and then next one, 69. Nacha tasma manusyesu kachit me priya krittamaha bhavita nacha me tasmat anya priya taro bhuvi. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he. No will there ever be one more dear, that one who explains the glories of Bhagavad Gita to the devotees. And next 70, adi adi esyate chama chaya imam dharmyam sambadam avayo gyanaya gyanate naham istasyam iti me matihi. And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me. Why? By what? My mother is doing like this. I don't know if I'm saying I'm crazy or something like that. Okay. So by his intelligence. Like that. So it's a wonderful book, you know. Actually, it's the best book you can find. As you can put in your carry-on with you and get the benefit of, you know, the words of Lord Krishna. This book is emanating from the lotus lips of the Lord. It's not as vomit or spit like that, but even if it were like that, it would be wonderful. It's actually, this song is actually a beautiful song spoken to help everyone, to help us, to help everyone, also everyone around there. So, it is very nice to try to preach. It is very nice to encourage each other, so we can fulfill the mission of like Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, all the Goswamis of Vrindavan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada. Isn't it? We were reading every day. We read Magyana Timrandasya Jana Jana. My spiritual master, open my eyes. And then we say that. So yeah, Madhu is chanting this. You're recording this lecture? Are you recording the lecture? Yeah. Okay. So Madhu is chanting here this. Exactly, you know, we should be trying to. When will Sivar Rupa Goswami, who has established within this material world the mission of to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter and. So we're trying to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, you see. This is a preaching mission, and we should be happy to do that, you know, endeavoring happily to preach others without any fear. And here is a chance in this place to give classes and to I think the fear of death is the only fear is bigger than speaking in public. Speaking in public is like everyone. Even here, there is class, because, you know, what can you do? You have no eye, you know. You are already there. You're going to die any second, but you don't have to endeavor to do the effort of dying, because you're going to die. But to do the effort of sitting, you know, here and speaking, and everyone sees you, the effects, and so you fall, and it is like a big challenge, you know. So, but it's okay, you know, nothing happened, you know. We are friends, right? And we try to, you know, to help each other and to be friends and like that. So even if it's not like that, doesn't matter. We preach Krishna, we please the Lord, and we preach the deities, so what, you know? No problem. So, of course, we have to speak bona fide, isn't it? Bona fide means not any crazy thing that you speculate, but whatever, Krishna. It's just repeating, you know? Reading is fine. We don't have to be great speakers. It's just basically, isn't it? Just repeat or read the Bhagavad Gita if you don't know what to say. So, a few weeks ago in summer, a few months ago, or something like that, 2 months ago, this Mataji, she lives in Sweden. She came here and she was organizing very nicely the schedule. So she left back. She was living here for, I don't know, 1 month or so. And then she was asking me, you know, to continue doing the asking devotees, would you like to give class and this and that. So I thought, you know, I think it would be nice that everyone, you know, get encouraged to give class. Of course, we hear also, which is also true, that some devotees, you know, especially senior devotees, carefully and, you know, maybe a bit worried, or they say, you know, that must be serious, you know, it's not that everyone can give class, you know, it must be a senior speaker, a person with knowledge. Normally, the spiritual master gives knowledge. One who's senior, who knows, it's logical, isn't it? Mathematics, any medicine, anything in life. One who knows gives class, and the one who don't know listens, basically. But, 16 minutes, battery. So basically, yes, it's true, but also Prabhupada says, it's like one is coming down, isn't it? Like, one should be like this. You must do this, you must do that, you must do proper, you must give nice classes, you must stick to the parampara and this and that, and you must be pure, you must follow the four regulative principles, you must, you know, from top to bottom, and it's true. But also, Prabhupada encourages, you know, if you don't preach, if you wait until you preach, if you wait to be pure to preach, you will never preach, because you will never consider yourself pure, you know. Like the great devotees, Paramahamsas, they see themselves as really impure, you know. It's because they are humble. They think they are flower than the grass in the street, you know. So in this way, Prabhupada is saying, all of you should become gurus. You should become preachers. You should help others. You know, you don't have to give great Sanskrit classes or anything like that. You just, you know, have fun, you know. Like we are with Parthasarathi Prabhu, which is such a nice guy, and he says, just have fun, you know, just go there, don't worry, take a book, give it to others. And it doesn't matter, you know. And yet you get purified. And today we started the college, and this morning was really nice. And Mahendra Prabhu, he is in charge, you know, a little bit, and then he was saying, you just have fun, you know. Don't worry too much about the papers, you know, you have to write on so many things, you know, on time. Just have fun, relax, you know, just relax, have fun. So the same thing, you know, if we have this approach. So I'd like to encourage everyone of you to give classes, you know. Maybe it's a bit adventurous, I know, but I think it's, we can have fun, you know, and like that. So this is my spirit. I'm just sharing with you because I don't know actually what to say. But yeah, in this way, is there any question? Sorry for the beard. I know it's not nice to hear, to see, and I don't know what I'm wearing. I should shave it, but somehow or another. I have not much time, so I just let it grow. I know it's like that's the excuse, actually. Chaturmasya, thank you, Chaturmasya, for being there. But any question about tomorrow? Yadananda Maharaj is giving class in verse 1 of Bhagavad Gita, and we have wonderful speakers next after. We have Bhaktavasa Govinda, if I'm right, which is such a senior nice devotee, you know, who speaks very clearly, and it's so nice to hear from him. And then Suryakunda Prabhu will continue with the first chapter, which are like Mahabharata, you know, fighters and battlefield is there 5,000 years ago. You can imagine how there was happening, and so many, like millions of people, they are ready gather together to fight with each other, fratricidal, father, son, cousins, the wonderful culture that was being degraded, and Lord Krishna was there ready to put things right, you know, in order, and to put the pious people in control of the world, and they came here. I think when one of the Pandavas came in Europe, and they conquered the whole, all directions, and it is actually the history of the world, Mahabharata. And then we will be reading, because there are short verses without purposes, we will be reading like that few verses at the same time. So this is an introduction of the whole thing. So I thought it was nice to read the Bhagavad, to read the Mahatmya, and to encourage you to come regularly to the classes. And it will be wonderful speakers without beer and very learned, and like that. And basically, I was also thinking to read other Gita Mahatmyas, but we don't have time, and I couldn't print them. But actually, I think there is time for one of them. The Shankaracharya is just, I think it's five verses. Shankaracharya is Lord Shiva, who appeared, I think, is it 800 years ago, or the 18th century? I think it's 800, I'm not sure. So I'm going to read it for you. Let's see. You have 1 minute. I'm going to jump the Sanskrit and go just for the translations. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 text. So Shankaracharya is, for those who don't know, Shankaracharya is the is an incarnation to propagate Mayavada philosophy. It's a philosophy which Prabhupada is against, because it's very envious of Krishna, he's denying Krishna and just speculating on the scriptures, and it is just like that, you know. Although Shankaracharya, because Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee of Lord Krishna, at the end of his life, he said, just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda. So, text one, it's like that. One who, with a regulated mind, recites with devotion this Bhagavad Gita scripture, which is the bestower of all virtue, will attain to a holy abode, such as Vaikuntha, the residence of Lord Vishnu, which is always free from the mundane qualities based on fear and lamentation. If one reads Bhagavad Gita very sincerely and with all seriousness, then by the grace of the Lord, the reactions of his past misdeeds will not act upon him. One may cleanse himself daily by taking a bath in water. We read that one, I think. But if one takes a bath even once in the sacred Ganges water of Bhagavad Gita, for him the dirt of material life is altogether vanquished. Because Bhagavad Gita is spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one need not to read any other Vedic literature. One need only attentively and regularly hear and read Bhagavad Gita. In the present age, people are so absorbed in mundane activities that it is not possible for them to read all the Vedic literatures. Yeah, this is the end of the introduction verses. So thank you for coming and tolerating me. Thank you, the Vajaniyas are here. Hare Krishna.